You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Folks, it is Wednesday. It is here. It is Depot Day 2020. Officially, Victor Oladipo playing basketball tonight in an Indiana Pacers uniform. We're going to talk about it today on Locked On Pacers. I want to talk about some of his comments from practice today. I want to talk about the Bulls, who kind of stink, and of course, what I envision the rotation looking like as he is integrated back in. As always, I'm one of the lovely hosts of Locked On Pacers, Tony East. I cover the team for this show, Forbes, and the West Indianapolis Community News. And yeah, it's a Depot Day. I mean, it's going to be a Depot-focused thing. I don't know if you're on Twitter, you saw it. Many media people at practice yesterday, Tuesday. I could not make it, unfortunately, due to my job during the day, but I think I saw 26, 27 media people there. It was a massive scrum, and I love that Mark Monteith put that in his story on Pacers.com about that usually means it's a seismic news event, and it is, and it's going to be interesting to see how that, like you noted, mentally affects players going forward, because beyond the traditional coverage, you know, they have to deal with more and how it's going to affect the team now, but Oladipo did speak, McMillan did speak, and it was very interesting to see some of the stuff that came out of practice. One of them that surprised me, per multiple people, is that it's unclear, or at least unsaid at this time, if Oladipo is actually going to start. I imagine he will. My guess is that he will. But coming off the bench has some merit, given that he hasn't necessarily started all year. The bench has been good. The starters have been good. Maybe don't break up the lineup if you don't have to, especially because another thing McMillan said is that he will have a minutes restriction likely through the All-Star break. So they have 8 more games, I believe, through then. That makes sense to me. So probably 20 to 25 minutes would be my guess for that time frame for him. And that makes a ton of sense. There's no reason to bust him back in. Jeremy Lamb will probably continue to see about the same number of minutes as Oladipo comes back in, maybe 5 or 10 less, but I thought that was a very noteworthy thing that we know that for sure. I think if the fact that we're hearing minutes restriction, you know, they have that plan means they know if he's starting or not. I don't think it's going to be like a spur of the moment decision. So we'll find out tomorrow or tonight, if that's happening. Pat Boylan tweeted an official quote from Oladipo. My belief is that I'm going to get back to my former self. I'm not saying that's going to be tomorrow night, but it'll happen. Which would be huge for the Pacers. I mean, if they get that version of Vic back, throw out your expectations, throw out your notions of how good you think this team is, recalibrate, they're going to be amazing. Now, how good he'll actually be in the interim, I don't know. Vic at practice today reportedly, he actually said this. He said, I don't expect to go out there and get 40, but my mentality is that I'm going to get 40. If he gets 40 and on a minutes restriction, just hand him some sort of award, MVP, most improved player or something, because that would be fantastic. But yeah, you know, Mark noting, I'm getting a lot of the quotes from his article because I couldn't be there today. You know, Vic also said, I don't think about losing anything in terms of speed. When you think like that, you go out there and actually lose it. I'm still the same Victor Oladipo I was practicing today. Got a few boards busted out and went by some people. At the end of the day, as you think is who you are, I'm Victor Oladipo. That's not going to change. So sick. His mentality's always been strong throughout this rehab process. You know, I feel like every time I got the chance to be in a scrum that he spoke in or even ask him a question, he said something to the effect of, you know, I can show you better than I can tell you, and I think I'm going to be better, which he's not going to be better. But, you know, those kind of things that really he does believe that he is going to come out, and once he's all the way back up to game speed and integrated in the rotation, he is going to be the 2-time All-Star Victor Oladipo who's just kicking butt. And he maintained that exact quote at practice. He said, there's no doubt in my mind I'm going to be better than I was. I'm not saying that's going to be Wednesday, but it's going to happen. That's just my belief in myself. I don't care what anyone thinks or how long it takes or the criticism that comes with it. That's a part of life. I'm just going to attack every day like it's my last. Man, I'm really excited to see just how he comes out. And I don't think we'll learn anything about the rehab, but I'm excited to see, like, I think we'll learn a little about Vic and, like, how he, you know, how he wants to, what he wants to show people about this last year he's had and what he wants to show for this basketball team. I think it's going to be, I don't think we'll learn anything bad and be like, wow, he was slacking this whole time. But I'm really looking forward to just seeing how he grew in this year and how he attacks this game. It's going to be so crazy when he comes out there. If he comes in off the bench, it's going to be a huge moment. If he starts, either way, when he gets called, it's going to be huge. I'm really looking forward to being in Banker's life. And Nate McMillan at the end talking about, you know, the whole team, the rotation, and how they can be, you know, how good they can be if everything works out. He said they can make it work. They can make it work. I think he's absolutely right. It's going to be fascinating to see how they try to squeeze him in. But I think everybody's ready to try this. You know, they all, like, they signed so many guys this summer that outside of TJ Warren, who they traded for, basically every new guy knew this was coming. They were ready for this. They signed it to be on the Pacers for this. Now it's here. Now it's time to be the team that you all thought that this group could be. And I think they have a chance to be fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to it. Depot Day is going to be absolutely fantastic. My official prediction for his stat line is 22 minutes. I said 14-4 yesterday. I'm not sure it's going to be that high, but I'll stick with it. So about 20 minutes, 14 points, and 4 assists for Victor Oladipo. I think, though, Caitlin Cooper pointing this out on Twitter today, that it makes a lot of sense that he might be in a more deferring role than we've ever seen him before. Not that that's should be expected of him going forward, but just A, given the way the Bulls play, and B, given that he's coming back from such a long absence, it does not make a lot of sense for him to be the attack kind of guy. I think that will likely still be Brogdon, and we'll see Oladipo being a more, maybe not secondary, but a more less attacky and more here's the ball kind of guy. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. Of course, we'll cover everything tomorrow because we're locked on Pacers, and he's the Pacers. So let's talk about the Bulls as a whole and what matchups Vic might be able to exploit after a short little break. So the Bulls, we dump on them on this show because they're really just not very good. They're 19-30, and I have said admittedly not nice things about the Bulls. They've won 4 of their last 6, and I don't want to take that for granted, including wins over the Spurs, the Timberwolves, who don't suck. But the other two teams they beat were the Cavs and the Wizards. Those teams all suck. So, kind of, like, they're winning the games, though. You know, they're playing better than crappy teams. So maybe they're just, like, slightly better than crappy. But with LaVine, you can never fully write them off. We saw that when they played in Chicago recently. He was going crazy. I mean, the Bulls could not score worth a damn without, besides him, and a little bit of Kobe White shooting here and there. But I mean, he is their offense, and that's what's interesting about this being Vic's first game back, is there's a chance they end up matched up on each other a little bit. So Vic's defense might not have some shining moments unless, you know, maybe they put Brogdon on LaVine or something like that. We'll see. It's going to be totally fascinating to see how that shakes out. But LaVine is not a good defender, so that could be a matchup that gives Vic some opportunities to get some stuff done. I'm looking forward to seeing those two shake out. But the big thing for the Bulls right now, when they played in Chicago, the Pacers and the Bulls, they were without Wendell Carter. He is injured. He's out for quite a while, 4 to 6 weeks as of January 10th. So he's still, it's only been a little over 2 weeks. He still might be 4 weeks out. He's out for a while. Daniel Gafford, their backup center, also out for 2 to 4 weeks. And Larry Markkanen now out as of this week for 4 to 6 weeks. So they just have nothing in the front court. Against the Spurs, a game they won two nights ago, their starting power forward and center combination was a friend of the pod, Thaddeus Young. Not actually a friend of the pod, but we love Thad Young here. He was the starter for the Bulls. 29 minutes, the most Thad Young stat line ever. 13 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. I've seen that, I think, 1,000 times from him. And they started Luke Kornet at center, who's a good shooter and not much else. So Thad, great defender. Kornet, terrible defender. We'll see how that yin-yang works out, but it could be an opportunity for the Pacers bigs to have a great game, which should free things up for, you know, if there's a lot of stuff that I didn't say from practice in the first segment, but Turner got sent home with his illness, so he, unclear if he'll play. Apparently he's pretty sick. And then Brogdon, not all the way through concussion protocol yet. So we'll see who does and doesn't play, but it could be a good opportunity for a lot of guys to get up to speed against that terrible front court. Because the other guy they're playing a bunch is Cristiano Felicio. You might not know much about him because he never plays. I think he's played under 10 games this season, mostly because he's just not very good at basketball. So, yeah, he's played 9. This will be his 10th. So we'll see how this shakes out. But the Bulls, not very good. And they run, as we saw with Turner, just shredding them to death. They have the very, very peculiar pick-and-roll coverage strategies. In theory, if you have the perfect players to execute what Jim Boylan is asking his interior players to do, it would work pretty well. You could cover two angles at once from pretty high up, which prevents, you know, an easy roll to the rim and a shot. And then your other guys can recover easily. It doesn't require as much weak side help as other pick and roll coverages. But Wendell Carter can do it. He's pretty great at defense, actually. Lauri Markkanen cannot do it. Luke Kornet certainly can't do it. Thad Young might be able to do it. And Cristiano Felicio certainly can't do it. So if Thad is guarding Domas, maybe Miles will be screening a little more, but we saw that he could just carve into whatever pocket he wanted. You know, their bigs can't recover fast enough from the position they're asked to be in. And if Domas is guarded by Kornet, I mean, just end the game in the first quarter, because Domas will shred that coverage and get in the lane. And the difference, you know, of course, Miles played fantastic. I don't want to belittle what he did against what the Bulls threw at him. But, you know, the difference between him and Domas is, besides a little bit of finishing, is like the passing from Domas. If he got into that space, would just be unfair. The Bulls would have to clamp down so hard, and he would be able to find shooters or find Vic or find Brogdon or Warren or whoever. He could really shred him up for making mistakes in that coverage. So that big man depletion in their front court with injuries is going to be killer for this game, especially because it looks like Sabonis will play even if Turner doesn't. So should be a good opportunity for him to really thrive and take this game over. And I know the game's going to be all about Vic, but I think Sabonis is going to have just a huge night. I mean, he was amazing on the road trip. Now he's had time to rest, and just I think he's going to kick some major butt. The thing the Bulls do have going for them, I guess, is they get pretty good point of attack defense from their starting guards. And they just started against the Spurs. They rolled out Tomas Satoransky, guy that I actually kind of was hoping the Pacers would try to get this summer. Not that he's been he's not been as good as the guys they got, but he's been okay this season. And Chris Dunn, who they have with Levine. Those guys are both pretty good defenders on the perimeter. Chris Dunn especially. I think he's leading the league in steals, maybe per minute or something. I forget exactly what category it is. He's just a menace when he goes for the ball, and he's so strong. And then Satoransky's just huge for a guard. So it'll be a little harder for those guys to isolate necessarily, especially whoever's on TJ Warren. But Levine is the guy you pick on. Excuse me, I just bumped my mic. I hope that wasn't a crazy noise. Levine is the guy you pick on in that instance. And then their bench is just a bunch of young guys, right? Archie Diakono is going to try really hard, but he's not particularly skilled. And the rest of their bench, besides Felicio, is just young guys trying to find their way. So they all have cracks that can be picked to death. And the Pacers bench, whatever it is comprised of and however many minutes certain guys get, should have no problem ripping that up. It actually will probably be it's actually a perfect game for a new bench unit to try to find their way a little bit. But Nate McMillan, I don't remember where I read this. It wasn't in Mark's thing. I think someone tweeted it. Did mention something that Oladipo hasn't worked a ton with the starters. So maybe there is some merit to him playing with the second unit, and then the starters just totally kick butt in this game. I guess we'll have to see. But I do want to talk about what the rotation could look like. I think the Pacers win by 10 or more, both given the emotions of the night and the opponent. So should be an easy one. And some of you on Twitter now make fun of me because I apparently get these wrong a lot and say, oh, Tony picked a big win over the Bulls, so that means the Bulls are going to win. But I think I get them right more than I get them wrong. I want to track that at some point in time. But I'm looking forward to it. I think the Pacers are going to win an easy one. So let's talk about what I think the rotation will be. But first, again, guys, last time this week I'm going to do this, but I'm still going to do it one more time. We want local ads on the show, and we haven't heard from enough people yet. If you text advertising to 33777 or go to lockedonnetwork.com/advertising, you can be hooked up to have your company advertise on Locked On Pacers. We have a nice male sports savvy audience, a bunch of educated listeners. We can see all the information about that stuff, or at least we used to be able to. I don't think we can anymore, but if you want to reach that audience, and that's the kind of people, I mean, everybody wants to get local people to come to their place and buy their stuff, please text advertising to 33777 or even hit me up on Twitter. I can get you going in the right direction to have your company on the show. But let's talk about the rotation. I have laid it all out. I have specific numbers, you know. Me and Adam have been going crazy trying to figure out what the Pacers rotation might look like with Oladipo back. And we've just kind of been deciding, oh, will Aaron Holiday be in, or will TJ McConnell be in, or will Justin Holiday be in? But not really specific numbers. And I'm writing an article about this, which should be out if you're listening now. Go read on Forbes.com about the rotation. So Adam had suggested the possibility of a 10-man rotation, so I even made that. So here's where I started. The starters, sans obviously Lamb moving to the bench for Oladipo, are the same and maintain the same minutes. Because I don't see, I think all those guys, Brogdon, Warren, Sabonis, and Turner. So first of all, Sabonis and Turner should not be impacted at all. Like, Goga's not going to play more because Oladipo's back. So their minutes should stay the same anyway. And Warren and Brogdon have been good enough that I think their minutes and role will stay identical. Like, not punishing. That's the wrong word for depleting someone's minutes. But, you know, altering the amount they play seems wrong with how good they've been and how important they've been. Like, they might be better than Oladipo right off the bat when he comes back. Brogdon certainly will be. Warren probably will be. So I think Brogdon at 30 that he's been playing per game and Warren at 32 makes sense. And I left Sabonis at 34 and Turner at 29. So out of the 240 minutes that you're required to get from your five positions, you get 125 just from those four guys. So you're over halfway there already. And then I put Oladipo in here at 25. That's admittedly might be too high, and you can swing some of the extras to Justin Holiday or Doug McDermott on the wing, but that was just for kind of ease of number. But I think he's going to be between that 20 to 25 range on his restriction. So that was my prediction for the starting five. Is Oladipo at 25 and the other guys all stay the same. So that is true in my 10-man and my 9-man rotation, believe it or not. And there's no way to me that any of the – there's very little way, at least to me, that any of those guys see their minutes decrease, right? They've all been very good. They all fit well with Vic. They're all – you know, if that's pretty much the bar for keeping or losing your spot. So the bench is where things get interesting. So Jeremy Lamb and McDermott were my only two locks to play on the bench. This is what I'm thinking is going to happen, not necessarily what I would do. I'll talk about that at the end. I have Lamb at his same 28 minutes for now. That's because Oladipo's only at 25. If Oladipo can get up to 30, 32 like he's been in seasons past, cut off 7 from Lamb, put him at 21, 20-ish. Or even maybe put him at like 23 and cut some from Justin Holiday. Either way. But Lamb's in, and his sixth man minutes number is still higher than Oladipo's until he gets fully ramped up, you know, like we heard in practice. Because I'm not saying Lamb should play more. I want to make this clear that I am guessing what I think will happen versus what I think will happen, I'll do last, or versus what I would do, I'll do last. So I think Lamb about 28, and then I have McDermott at around what he's at now, 21 per game. The other spots, so in the 9-man rotation, the other you're basically deciding with three guys, Aaron Holiday, Justin Holiday, TJ McConnell for two spots. In those two spots, we have 41 minutes left. So I think Nate McMillan loves his 9-mans, right? His first year, it was, you know, Collison, Depot, Bojan, Thad, Miles, and then his bench had, like, Trevor Booker, Lance, Corey Joseph, and sometimes he had GR3 in there, and I'm definitely missing someone that I can't believe. Sabonis, duh. That was his 9 guys that year. Occasionally, GR3 got the sprinkles, but he didn't play much in the playoffs, and then that evolved as the seasons went on to the bench that we saw more last year with no Lance and instead Tyreek or, you know, whatever. But he's usually had 9 guys. And so I think in his ideal world, he'll still have 9 guys. And I think also that McMillan prefers vets to kids just for their consistency. And you could even argue, well, actually, it's pretty easy to argue that McConnell's been more useful for the second unit than Aaron Holiday. And I think Justin Holiday, because he's 3-and-D and has been such a good shooter recently and has been a good defender, I think Justin Holiday and McConnell will get those two spots. I think Aaron Holiday has a good case, and he's in the 10-man rotation. We'll get to that in a second. But I think it's going to be McConnell, Justin Holiday, if you made me pick 9 guys. And I have Justin Holiday at 21 and McConnell at 20 minutes per game. That's how the 9-man rotation shakes out with those exact numbers. So that second unit was McConnell at 20 minutes, Lamb at 28, Justin Holiday at 21, McDermott at 21. And then any foul trouble for centers, Goga can be the 10th guy to soak that up. So in the 10-man rotation, the difference is I just cut McConnell's minutes in half from 20 to 10 and then gave Aaron Holiday 10 other minutes. And then he can play as an off-ball guard or an on-ball guard depending on the situation. And McMillan said, this was a long time ago, Edmund Sumner had just come back and the Pacers beat the Celtics in early December. It was one of their first games of the season where everybody sans Vic was healthy. I think Sumner didn't play, and the game before that, Aaron Holiday got yanked because he was playing bad. But then he was awesome in the clutch of that game, if you'll recall. He hit some huge threes. So Mark Monteith, who, man, I'm quoting him a lot, but he's fantastic at covering this basketball team, said something to the effect to Nate McMillan in the postgame press conference of, you know, like, how hard is it to choose Aaron Holiday in that situation? How does this work? And Nate was talking about, you know, how he has conversations with guys now that they're all healthy about potentially not playing and how he'll ride the matchups. And he said that before with deciding guys. So if he is riding the matchup, you know, you could see that Holiday-McConnell split I'm talking about shift a little differently. But maybe he could get Aaron as the 10th guy in there just because he likes to have him out there. And he likes that he has more options for matchups with that. So the 10-man I don't think is crazy. This was Adam's idea. So the starters, like I said earlier, are the same as my 9-man. Brogdon at 30 minutes, Oladipo at 25, Warren at 32, Sabonis at 34, Turner at 29. And then the second unit, McDermott's up to 23, and Justin Holiday's up to 22, and then Lamb is at 25. Now, that shift is a little, might seem a little odd, but I took two guard minutes from Lamb and distributed them to wings because I'm guessing Aaron Holiday is playing some two guard if he's playing 10 minutes, and then the wings just play a little more because they can play alongside Aaron Holiday, the guard, and that's how you get to your 240. So that's plausible. I mean, if McConnell and Aaron can be effective, like super awesome balls to the wall effective in 10 minutes and still have all the rhythm like right when they jump off the bench, and that would be great. That would be a great way to keep the kumbaya and have everybody keep playing and everything goes well. I'm not sure how plausible that is or if Nate wants to do that because he loves his 9-mans, but we'll see. What I would do, because I said I would say this, Vic, the starters are the same as what the team's been doing. I don't see any reason to shake that up. I think they're rolling for a reason. It's the best 5-man lineup the team's had this season despite some struggles this month, but they've played some good opponents. I think the decision for me I would go 9 guys. And I think for me, it comes down to this is what I wrote at least. If you want, it always sounds great to say we're forward thinking. We're going with the youngster. Aaron Holiday is getting the backup point guard and we're cutting TJ McConnell. And that has a ton of merit. Forward thinking is never the wrong decision, right? It's always smart and savvy and well thought out. But here's another factor. They're 30 and 17, right? They're in the thick of this race, and McConnell versus Holiday might be the difference between, like, two crucial wins this year. And I, you know, as good as Aaron Holiday's been at his highs, he's also had these crazy inconsistent lows, which is really tough. And I know McMillan doesn't, like, not McMillan, but in general, any fan, any Pacers person would argue, you know, that's not good. That's not great. So I think if they, you know, through these 47 games were like 25 and 22 or something like that, yeah, you easily pick Aaron Holiday, I think. You know, your seed is not going to be influenced by your decision. You're getting the young guy the time to develop. But because they have the chance to get home court in the first round and possibly win a series if things go their way, including getting that home court, I think they should go with McConnell because of that. And if things falter or if he's not fitting well, then you can shift. It's not that hard, I think, if things go wrong. And if things are going right, winning makes people forget a lot of things. I know, obviously, people are always going to be upset when the young guys aren't playing. But that's what I would do. And then Lamb, Justin Holiday, and McDermott would be my other three guys. And the other caveat with Aaron out is, like, if Justin Holiday starts to slip up, right, like, he's never shot this well from three. If that starts to go away, put in Aaron. Give him a shot. See if he fits with that group. So we'll see how it goes. But that is what I would do, personally. But we'll see. You know, it's going to be very intriguing to see. I think it's going to be the story to monitor after the All-Star break. I don't really care until after the All-Star break because they've acknowledged that it's all gimmicky and not exactly what the plan will be, and they'll reevaluate. So I think just these 8 games coming up with 7 at home, I think just enjoy them. Don't freak out about the rotation. Don't freak out that someone's cut or not playing enough. Just enjoy them. Someone's going to get hurt probably, and your favorite guy or your plan will have its due. So enjoy this. Oladipo is back. It's going to be awesome to watch him play basketball. I can't wait. I hope you guys have a great time watching the game. Of course, we'll recap it all, how he looks and what the rotation shakes out to be on tomorrow's Locked On Pacers with me and Adam, of course. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.